Welcome to the 8th episode of the Used to Be About Minecraft podcast. That's actually a pretty good name. Used to Be About Minecraft podcast. Today, we will not have Dad. Or Tim, as you older listeners might know him as. Because we have over 500 listens, I would like to thank you all for such a wonderful experience with this podcast and continuing to listen to it, even though it's not continuous at all. You have to remember, I'm just a kid. And no matter how much I want to do this podcast every day, every single day, I'm not able to because Dad, Tim has work, and usually I'm not allowed to do this alone. Today is a different story. Today, since we have over 500 listens on this podcast, I will tell you my story for a third Subnautica. Now, this is not official by Unknown Worlds. This is not something that's actually part of the Subnautica universe. This is a disclaimer, by the way. This is completely out of my imagination. However, I have been working on it for an incredibly long time. And I finally have the full story. Kind of. And I just want you to know. So, without any further ado, at exactly 2 minutes, let's start. So, Sam Ayu, the sister of Robin Ayu, from Below Zero, wakes up. Now, we know she exploded Omega Base, and then she got crushed under an ice cap with Parvlin. She does not see Parvlin, so, I mean, he's probably disintegrated and long dead, because, I mean, this is a year after the events of Below Zero. So, anyway, she doesn't, however, the ice, she is off of her, and she doesn't know why, until she looks outside the cargo doors, the big cargo doors, and she's at land, dun-dun-dun, and he's, like, using a couple of his hands, anyway, to just, like, whirl stuff around and make kind of like a cyclone. And what this does, and so Sam, not knowing that it's Alan to be specific, but just knows that it's a precursor, which is what it will be known as, and I don't care if you think it's an architect, it's a precursor. They aren't called architects. That's just what Altera insists on calling them. Anyway, so Robin, knowing that this is a precursor, an architect, precursor. sorry, I get very worked up about that. Anyway, says, "Who are you?" Like any sane person would do. And so, Alan says, "A human cannot comprehend." And I'm gonna be paraphrasing the lines a bit because I haven't completely worked them out. So I'm gonna be paraphrasing a bit for most of the lines. So anyway. "Humans cannot comprehend my name," says Alan. "You may call me by my model number, Al-N." And Sam says, again, paraphrasing, "What are you doing?" Alan says, paraphrasing, again, I'm not going to say paraphrasing, if I'm going to say the full line, I'm going to say, quote, I'm sorry, you can tell how professional this podcast is. Anyway, so, Alan says, "I'm upset and mad because the quarantine enforcement platform was shut down, and now Kara's going to spread to the entire universe, and everyone and everything's going to die." So, yeah. And so, obviously, Alan's really angry at this point and swoops Sam up into the cyclone he's making. And the first thing Sam sees, inside that cyclone is an Arctic peeper and a regular peeper smashing together and making a tropical peeper. And if we were to have a website, then I would post my concept art on said website, but we don't have a website. So I'll have to ask Dad to make a website. And if we eventually have a website, I'll tell you, and obviously in the podcast, and I'll post concept art to it. Anyway, like I was saying, a tropical peeper. Again, something I just made up. So, anyway, she wakes up because she blacked out, and Alan is calling her. So she answers, and Alan says, "I don't have much time. You have to help me. You have to go to this place called Wreck Fields. Go through the cave that's called the Cave of Secrets." Hence the name of the game, Subnautica Cave of Secrets. You have to go through that cave, look at the cave paintings on the wall, and you'll find something that looks like the void. Obviously, he won't call it the void. I just don't know what precursors would call it. It's not, it is just a strip of void. You have to go through it. And so, and then we hear Altairan voices in the background saying, "Hey, what are you doing? Get off there. Get off that phone. We have to do experiments on you. What are you doing?" I'm paraphrasing, but whatever. And then, with obviously what's the hassle, Alan hangs up abruptly. So anyway, Sam goes through and she makes sure to look on paintings on the wall. That explains a lot, but, and she's really confused because there are like pictures of Altera and your sister, and she doesn't know that Robin's been on this planet yet. I'll come later. So anyway, she walks through, goes through the void strip. She doesn't get attacked because there aren't Leviathans in the void strip. And she finds the Tranquilweed Forest. No, not the Tranquilweed Forest, sorry. The Wreck Fields. Tranquilweed Forest is cut content as of right now because I don't see any use for it. Now, you may be wondering, this seems very story-based, not as open-world as Subnautica is. It's still an open-world survival game. And you're still able to do what you want without having to follow the storyline. However, there are things that are purposely put in so that you don't advance in the storyline without doing the things that you have to do first. And I'm making sure that's still an open-world survival game. And it's very hard to do so. It's very hard to make this feel like Subnautica. And I'm trying my best, okay? Anyway, she finds Wreck Field after she goes through the void strip. And Alan calls her and says that this is a recorded message. You have to find the precursor database in the middle of the Wreck Fields. And so she obviously explores it a bit. And it's very obvious. She presses the database so that she can get the data downloaded to her PDA. She just now is noticing that her PDA is, like, completely destroyed, so she'll have to fix that. So anyway, she has information in there, and the data bank says, and this is a work in progress, but I'm quoting about my idea as, quote, "This is a important message. You have to find me. It is I, Alan. You have to find the city. You have to save what is..." And there are, like, precursor letters in the middle. So, anyway. So, it's not completely translated, and I just told you the short snippet of it. So, anyway, she knows what she has to do, and when she closes her PDA, from what she saw, she sees that all the wrecks have been restored, like the shipwrecks from Subnautica have been fixed, like the electrical damage has been fixed, and the Degeezy bases are cleaned, and something that she recognizes as Madia's greenhouse is right in front of her, so knowing Madia, she goes in, or she tries, the door's locked. She thinks to herself, weird, I didn't know bulkheads could be locked. She knocks on the door. Nothing.
She bangs on the door. This is when Madia comes out. And she says, Sam, what the are you doing here? I'm kidding. I'm not allowed to say hell is the means of a cuss. So anyway, being Madia, she says that. So anyway, Sam explains what's happened, and this is all very dialogue-based, if you haven't noticed. Kind of like Below Zero, but more so. It's also a lot more story-based. Anyway, so she sees Preston in the background, the Snowstalker, relieved that he's still alive. Madia invites her in and tells her what she knows has been happening, because Madia at this point was able to hook up her PDA with Wi-Fi. Don't ask me how. So anyway, she's been getting, like, the newspaper every day from the Independent, which is a newspaper in Below Zero. That's how we know that how the Aurora crash is worked into Below Zero. Because it's talked about in a newspaper called the Independent. Anyway, she's been getting information from that every day, Madia, for a year. And she explains basically what's been happening with Altera. They've been kind of overthrowing all the other transcubs and kind of completely discarding the charter. Which, the TFS and the charter and other obscure things from Subnautica are more important in natural selection games, which are in the same video game universe as Subnautica. Subnautica is actually a predecessor to natural selection, and this is not a fan theory. This has actually been proved by the devs. They have said this. So anyway, what was I saying? Altera's been taking over and completely ignoring the charter, blah, blah, blah. So, Sam, being upset about this, Madia had also just gotten a notification today that there was a precursor Altera was doing experiments on, and the precursor refers to himself as Al Ann. Sam knows who Alan is, obviously, she met her. And so, she explains this, and Madia just now got the idea to say, hey, I met your sister. She made it so that Altera didn't find me. And so, Sam, not knowing that Robin was on this planet, says, what? And so, Madia explained, like, she was trying to find you, and she couldn't, and she presumably went to the precursor homeworld. Now, we don't know this for sure yet. I mean, the ending to Below Zero hasn't come out, but I think it's pretty obvious that's what's gonna happen. Especially because that Skybox concept art that came out recently in the games files, and it had to be deleted because it wasn't supposed to be in there. And Amatha, the YouTuber, got big trouble. That was a couple months ago. There was like one week that I was allowed to watch YouTube. That, like, the week of my 11th birthday. And that's when I saw that. And he got huge trouble for that. But anyway, I'm getting distracted. Like I was saying, Sam tells Madia how she saw a precursor city rising when she turned off her PDA after she looked at the thing, because there was like a precursor city rising behind her. And so Madia, being Madia, wants to go look at that. And so they step outside and see, guess who? Drum roll, please. I'll edit in drum roll. No, I won't. I'll just
Riley Robinson, the main character of Subnautica, who Sam already knows who. He's a fugitive in Altera and is, like, a villain. And so, I'll explain this later. Yes, they see Riley Robinson, the main character of Subnautica. How exciting. They both know who he is. He's a huge fugitive in Altera. He had to return to 4546B because he didn't have the three trillion credits that he had to pay to return to Altera. So he had to go around, and now he's a fugitive. So anyway, he's a criminal. And he explains what he's been doing. And yes, I know this is getting ridiculous, but please just bear with me. So anyway, all three of them go to the precursor city that's, you know, the huge precursor city that's behind them. And they can't enter any of the things besides, they're all, like, there aren't any doors on any of them. And Riley Robinson, being Riley Robinson, notices that. And he's, like, the big precursor guy that, like, loves precursors. And he's, like, being really annoying, explaining a bunch of random trivia about precursors. And Madia and Sam are both visually annoyed at him. And so, anyway, they eventually find the primary research platform, in which they see three portals, which have to be activated by the green tablet. Now, finally, Riley's knowledge, precursor knowledge, comes into use for once. And he says the precursor, the green tablet, is a theoretical tablet that can be made when all five tablets, the red tablet, the blue tablet, the white tablet, the purple tablet, the orange tablet. Yeah, that's all then. Are melted down and combined with ion and can make a green tablet. So, Madia and Sam are like, what? Now, Riley explains what the tablets are and what their uses are, and shows them pictures on his PDA of what they look like. Madia sees she has the white one. Now, if you remember in Below Zero, and this is kind of like an Easter egg to the old story in Below Zero, but this was actually in Below Zero. Madia threw the white tablet to Preston, her stove stalker, to chew on. So anyway, she brings out, Preston, being Preston, happens to be right behind them the whole time, conveniently, with the white tablet in his mouth. How convenient. Riley pats him on the head, picks up the white tablet, says, well, you got the first one. So, they all have to find the next ones. Riley has the blue, orange, and purple tablets from the original Subnautica. So the only one that they have to find is the red tablet. This is where it's definitely open world. The first part of the story is all about trying to find the red tablet, and they eventually find it in kind of like the lava lakes of this. It's the ice fire caves. So it has both the sea dragon and the ice dragon. Yes, that's a bit of cut content from Below Zero that everyone's upset got cut. So both kinds of dragons are in it, and by the way, Sam is like alone at this point. Riley and Madia are communicating with her, and she can go see them and talk to them. But they're all, and so
Riley calls her on her PDA and says, "Hey, look, you found it. My scan room says that's the place that's gonna house the red tablet, but it's guarded by two dragons." And Sam, just thinking that Riley's a nerd, goes in and sees two dragons. The ice dragon and the sea dragon. She's like, oh, he was serious. So So Maria, just in time, drives over in goes over in her prawn suit, of course, her prawn suit. She loves her prawn suit. And says, "Be careful with this or else, but I'll lend it to you so you can fight them." So anyway, she uses the Trilliss bone to fight off the dragons while she grabs the red tablet with the other arm. She eventually makes it out, Sam. And so they have all the tablets they need. And they melt them together with Ion, which they found Ion in the primary research platform. So that shouldn't be too hard. Anyway, they make the green tablet. They fabricate the green tablet with this, what was called the, and I think this is a really funny name, but the tablet juice. So one tablet juice and one tablet juice and one ion in a fabricator, one ion cube in the fabricator makes the green tablet. And so they take the green tablet, and Riley does the honors of inserting it into the, and by the way, you may be wondering, why is Riley talking? Well, technically, he has a computer chip in his brain now, so that the brain damage that was caused to him, which causes him to not be able to talk, while the Aurora's crashing is, like, overridden. It's kind of like Stephen Hawking before he passed away. Anyway, like I was saying, he inserts it, and three portals open up. One is just a regular precursor portal, which is the portal to 4546B, which will just lead them to where they're standing right now. One is obviously human made by Altera, and it even has an Alteran symbol. And one of them is, the precursor one doesn't lead to where they are right now. It leads to the precursor homeworld. The Altaran one leads to the Altera homeworld. And then there's one that just isn't activated. And that one, according to the data bank, is the one that will lead them to where they are now. So anyway, you know, the data bank that they downloaded in the red fields. Anyway, Maria gets a notice on her PDA and finds out that Alan is dying because of horrendous experiments that are being done to him on the Altaran homeworld. How convenient, they just activated that portal. So Sam, being very protective, says, "Get me Robin." Because she knows Robin hates Altera. And Maria, knowing that she most likely went to the precursor homeworld, says, "I'll be right back." So Robin and Riley are just like, whatever, she's survived this long. So she goes through, and Riley and Sam are just like looking around the primary research platform, because when Maria went through that portal, the door's locked behind them, so they only had the portals and nothing else. that's annoying. So Riley's trying all these different ways to get out, and Sam's like researching and being Sam, scanning everything, just being generally being Sam with her research and stuff. So anyway, Maria, being beat up, bruised, and broken, comes out with Robin holding, guess what, Sam's necklace in her hands. It says, and Robin's just like, what's going on here? Why are you bringing me here, Maria? What? And then she turns around and sees Sam. And then they just lock eyes. And Robin's like, is that you, Sam? Sam's like, yeah. And so now Robin's kind of upset with her, like, where were you? I've been looking all over for you. I just went to the precursor homeworld with Alan, what happened to him? I don't know what happened to him. He went here and he never came back. And so Sam's explaining what the experiments are, and Robin gets really upset with this, and she's gonna say something, but then she looks in her hands and says, oh, by the way, Sam, here's your necklace. Because it's Sam's necklace. She never took it off. This was explained in Below Zero. Anyway, Sam's like, thank you so much. Because he's mentioned it once or twice that she's like, looking for it. So anyway, Robin then says, this means a war. So, yeah, there's now been a declared war of Alterra. So, all four of them go through the Alteran portal, and a lot happens, and it will take another hour to explain just what happened on the Alteran homeworld, but dialing it down is the most simple thing that I possibly can. They went through and got to the TS Transsystem Federation headquarters, declared war on Alterra and the TSF. TSF is like, you shouldn't do that, but whatever. And just kind of like, start trying to shoot them. Like, there aren't any guns in Sonotica, nor are there in Cave of Secrets. However, there are ion blasters. Not guns. They're laser blasters powered with ion. Still not guns. So, anyway. So, Alterra's warned, and so they go through the portal for 4546B, and they've gathered like a bunch of recruits for the anti-Terra. Yeah, funny, right? And so, So Maria is like, we should probably look through the racks to see if there's stuff we can use. So they gather like a bunch of stuff, like posters and stuff. So anyway, they go through and they find stuff. And so they make the Cave of Secrets into their headquarters. And there's like Alterra knocking on their door. They know that they have to gather enough information about Alterra that they can use against them. So Riley's like, there's something called the Alteran Key that I learned about in my time in Alterra. It's a USB drive that, if found or created, if you insert it into the Alterra mainframe USB drive, you'll be able to download all those files. And Sam was like, cool, I'll get on that. And Riley's like, no, that was just like, I'm telling you. And so Sam is, it's already like, nope, I'm doing this. So now you have this goal of finding enough stuff to make the Alteran key. And so you step outside, start finding stuff, and whoa, the world's changed. A lot. So Alterra's like used the wreck field to their advantage. And's like, all right, we're just gathering these materials and making a huge base. The Alteran War base. Otherwise known as
Alpha Base. Because sticking with the theme of Greek letters, it's either Alpha or Beta, and I want it to be Alpha, so. Anyway! She knows, like, oh, I've blown up bases in the past, because she has blown up Alteran bases in the past. And she also knows how to make it, the Alteran, like, the bomb kind of thing that implodes bases. And it's actually bleach, ion, and another third material that I haven't come up with yet. And so anyway, she knows that she's going to have to get people out of there somehow. And so, she's looking around the world. It's still an open world. And she goes to the precursor homeworld, looks around, Alteran homeworld, gets out of there quickly. And so she eventually finds what she needs to make a gas cloud, and she doesn't know how they're holding up back in the Cave of Secrets, but she's just like trying to figure out what to do with Alteran. So she makes this smoke bomb that will flush the Alterans out, and she makes this, it throws it into the she throws it into Alpha Base, and there's just a stream of Alterans just running out of there, just running. And she knows that it's empty at this point because she has a camera drone in there. This was recommended by Riley. So she goes in and realizes she doesn't have the Alteran key. Because this point, by walking inside, that's how the blueprint is unlocked. And so she looks at the recipe, and it's incredibly hard to make, obviously. There's the Deltanian chip, which would be made with a computer chip and a scanner room HUD chip. And also, you would require to actually have to smash open a PDA and tear out its chip. And so that's how you make the Deltanian chip. And then you also have to have enough metal salvage and silicone to cover a small country. So there's that. And then guess what else you need? You need, besides for enough for the Deltanian chip and enough salvage metal and silicone to cover a small country, you also need a laser cutter in the recipe. So that's there. And you need to, once you insert it, once you make it, into the Alteran mainframe computer, because by this point she's locked the doors of and put on the highest security in this Alteran base, because she knows she has to do that, and only she knows how to get in, which is the code 8921-8601. Recognize that? 8121-8101. It's a abandoned ship, okay? Anyway, like I was saying, so she's able to go in here, and so she goes back to the Cave of Secrets, and she sees that there are new people. New, important people. And the two main ones that Madia is, like, talking to her, and the two main names that she notices are Avery Quinn, the captain of the Sunbeam. Apparently, he wasn't actually in the Sunbeam. He was remotely driving it. And the all-annoying, all-hated, all-wish-he-didn't-exist, but he does, Craig McGill, the guy that you annoyingly hear about over and over and over again in Subnautica in the PDA messages. If you just want to make a grow bed, Craig McGill survived 81 months on just in the acid swamps of Boreal 9 eating nothing but stink root. No one cares. He's here now. So, there's that. And so, she walks around and sees, like, this is much different than the Cave of Secrets she left. There are, like, cabins for when people are, like, labs and offices that have the specific names of the people that are needed. And there's, like, all this stuff. So, yeah. I'm sorry, this is so complicated. And so she goes in and finds Craig McGill, who is working on what looks like a rock grub. And we're finally getting into the WRECK experiments. So she talks to Craig McGill, who is saying, like, oh, apparently all rock grubs are infected with Kara. That's why they're all green, and their minds are controlled by it. And Altera's trying to exploit them, and that's where the REC project comes in. And Sam's like, what's the REC project? And the WRECK project stands for the Westchester Rock Grub Experimentation Kara. Cranial Kara project. And Sam's like, God, Altera's trying to mutate Kara again. Will they ever stop? And so they know that they have to go to, and so Craig McGill's like, you have to go to the precursor homeworld and inform the grand precursor master that rock grubs Altera and such. And so she goes to the precursor homeworld and sees, oh, look, the TSF have moved their home base to here. And there are dead precursors everywhere. Because why not? That happens. And so she goes into the TSF home base where there's like a sign outside, like, precursor grandmaster being held here, only 25 credits to see him. And it's like, alright, that's convenient. She goes in, picks up a poster that's on the wall, and says, like, I'll be keeping this. Ha ha. I'll be keeping this. Ha ha. Screw you. So anyway. Anyway, so she looks around and she eventually finds not the Grandmaster. However, where Alan, the Grandmaster isn't actually in here. I'm not going to put that in because we need her to find Alan's experimentation site, which is in this TSF headquarters. Dun dun dun. How convenient. Because she goes in and sees. So she goes in, like I just said, and sees, like I just said, Alan in these horrible, like, strapped to a table. Like, he's being picked apart one by one. There's, like, ion all around, and, like, obviously, like, parts of his body. And, like, his light is, like, dim. Like, the light of his body is, like, dim and, like, almost non-existent. And there's these experimentation, like, equipment all around. Like, ion-powered laser cutters and what looks like a machete made out of a light or holograms, and it's something completely different, then it's the best way I can describe what it looks like. So anyway, and all these horrible things, and his arms and legs, and I mean, all his arms have been completely disconnected. And Alan raspily says, "You have," and again, I'm paraphrasing all of this, all the dialogue and paraphrasing. And so anyway, Alan says, "I have to get me out of here. What are you doing here anyway? You have to be safe. Have to save me." And he's obviously like contradicting himself. Now he starts, and the first thing, and the last thing he says before his light goes completely dim is, "At least I'm reconnected to the network." And then his light just completely goes dark. And Rob and Sam just like, "Alan! Al! No!" So she thinks Alan's dead, but she also knows he can't really die, because Robin told her whole experiences with Alan. And so anyway, she promises Alan, who is probably dead now, you'll see if he is or not. It'll be as much of a surprise either way. Anyway, "I promise to come back for you, but right now I have to find a way to finish the Altairan key." That's what she's trying to make. She's trying to make the Altairan key. And she knows that the only place that she's going to find that last ingredient that she needs for the Altairan key, which I have now figured out what it will be. It will be a extremely powerful, it will be 1 bit of a laser. You may be thinking, what? So the laser cutter she needs in the Altairan key, not just any old regular laser cutter, it's one of those ion powered laser cutters that she found in here. She's like, "Oh, well, perfect. This is exactly what I need." She picks it up, promises that she'll come back for Alan, and goes out, and she's, like, hoping, like, "Oh, please, don't let anything happen. Please, Alan, don't let anything happen to you. You're too powerful. You know what you have to do." And she doesn't even know if he's dead or not. So she may just be talking to a corpse. Anyway, so she goes back to the crater. Now, not the crater, 4546B. Now, she can get caught by the TSF. If you're not careful, you can get caught by TSF in this part. But it's pretty easy to escape if you do. You will. Like, you won't die. They won't kill you, but they'll, like, make it so that your health is at, like, 1. Like, not 1, but pretty darn close to 1. And so, you probably won't get captured by a TSF, though. You just don't purposely run into a TSF guard. Then, I'm pretty sure you won't get caught. I'll have to see, like, the coding. We'll decide that. But anyway, like I was saying, gets back to, so after exploring the precursor homeworld for a bit, which is, like, overpopulated with humans, but it's still mostly the precursor homeworld, because she's Sam, and she wants to, and she literally says to herself, I should look around this place a bit more. So anyway, she scans stuff, looks at the BDA, just does normal, and so eventually she goes back to 4546B, where chaos is reigning, because there's Ulterra's right outside their door and attacking them. And people are dying. And Monty's like, I'm not allowed to use hell as, I'm allowed to say hell, just not as a cuss. So where the, you know, what? Where are you? And then she says, beaver it, except not beaver. I'm trying to sound like Madia without saying the cusses, so bear with me. So, anyway, she explains what Greg and Gil's order to do, and she's like, oh, great, now you can get us information on how to get them to stop attacking us by information on how they're attacking us. And she's being sarcastic, but it's just like, whatever, I shut down Alpha Base, you're not able to get in. So, anyway, she gets into Alpha Base. I mean, she does have to fight Ulterra. I mean, they can kill her. In which she'll just respawn. Unless you're in hardcore, you're just probably are just gonna respawn in your lab. So whatever. Anyway, so she goes into Alpha Base, trying not to get killed by Ulterra. Beep 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 beep. She gets in, closes the door, makes sure that no one can get in, so she destroys the centrifuge so that no one can get in. She walks around, finds a new poster next to the supercomputer. She's like, I'll take that. and inserts the Alteran key. Supercomputer flips up, which we didn't even see the computer screen yet. It just flips up. Starts up and starts having seemingly random zeros and ones with the Ulterra like loading thing, but it's not random. It's actually binary code for both abandoned ship and into the unknown. So that's cool. Anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. She sees that she has to insert code, and she's like, do I have the code that I have to put in? And she doesn't know the code. And so, you have to think. You have to really think. And this is the point where Avery Quinn, yes, Avery Quinn, the Sunbeam guy, calls her and says, hey, the code, I don't know it, but what I do know is that it should be on the Deltanian ship. And Sam's like, thanks, that's helpful. Like, kind of sarcastically, but kind of not. So anyway, the only way to see the Deltanian ship is if she takes it out of the Ulterra key, which she can't do. But then she's like, oh wait, I have a scan. So, she opens up the scan, looks at it, and what is the number? Can you guess? Do, 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 do. It is dash 32 dot F. I mean, dot C. Dash 32 dot C. Now, what importance does dash 32 dot C have? Well, if you remember the opening to Below Zero. Now, this is just like an Easter egg. This isn't explained in the story. But if you remember the opening to Below Zero, when you're crash landing on 4446B, it says, welcome to 4546B. Surface temperature. 37 degrees below zero Celsius. Enjoy your stay. See, I just thought that that was a pretty cool. I think that was a pretty smart thing to put in. So anyway, also you can know it if you just know below zero and you're like, well, this is a probability. So anyway, that's another way you can do it. And Robin tells you multiple times, like, it was 37 degrees below zero Celsius. When she's talking to you, she like says it all the time. It's like, hey, maybe this is it. Also, if you type in 37 degrees below zero Celsius, or like negative 37 degrees Celsius, or like negative 37 degrees, or minus 37, like that'll automatically transmit to what you have to do. But anyway, so she downloads the files to the Altair key, which is now the anti-Terran key. So she brings it back to the Cave of Secrets, hoping. by the way, she blows up the, she implodes anyway, the Alpha base now. So anyway, so she does all that, and then she goes back and she downloads this information, and she sees a ton of information, like a ton. But mainly what she sees is the charter is, so one of the main things she sees right now is the charter is required, and within the charter is how to beat a company or a company slash transgov that is in a war. So she knows that the charter was actually at the TSF headquarters, and she has decided not to grab it, aka couldn't. You couldn't even access that room. But she knows where to go, so another thing that the charter said, she's just reading the chart. So another thing that the, there are just all these files, and it's kind of like long-winded and hard to read, and you're not really meant to, so you can read all of it if you want, but mostly the charter is the important thing. So anyway, another important thing that's there is Altair's attack plans, and also secret files of Altair on how to take over the entire Chan System Federation. So she's gonna have to tell the TSF about that. So it's just all this important stuff in the files. So she goes, gets the charter, checking on Alan in the process, and he's gone. We don't know where he is. You don't know where he is as of this point, so she looks around the TSF headquarters, finds the room with the charter, opens the unbreakable glass case with the ion laser cutter that's conveniently lying there. Everything in this is meant to be convenient. And she's like, alright, well, I guess I have the charter now. So she reads over the charter, and she's like, oh, well, Altair is not legally able to do this. And so she tries to tell the TSF about everything, and they just want to kill her because they want this experimentation with Alan to be done. She started a war. They're not happy with her about that. She's like, well, I tried to warn you. And so she just like dashes away and reads the charter and reads the Altairan files. And she knows like she's just going to have to explore to see what to do. She's going to have to explore these three worlds. Because like, Alan, like Madia and Alan and Robin and Avery. And Alan and Robin and Madia and Avery and Riley and Robin and everyone is telling her that you just have to look around, you just have to explore, do this, do the. They're just all telling her to, and Craig, they're all telling her to do the same thing, just explore. So she's doing that, and she's gathering this information, and eventually, when she goes back to the Altairan homeworld, TSF is waiting for her and captures her. Dun dun dun. Yes, Altairan captures her. Wait, what? Yeah, they capture her, just like that. And so go to the anti-Terran fugitive prison, in which you are meant to be executed the next day. But luckily, you still have that laser cutter with you. So you're able to escape along with all the other anti-Tyrans, but it takes quite a while because you have to, like, fabricate. So, because you have to have a fabricator and a habitat tool as well, and there's a lot of stuff that you have to do to lead up to your escape. So there's this big battle with the TSF once you escape with all the other fugitives. Just try not to die, and you'll be fine. And so anyway, she eventually escapes and goes and is like, well, I have to go to save everyone else now from the TSF and Altera. And so all these files and the charter, she explores and fights, and eventually she wins the war. It's very hard for you to lose the war. You have to, like, kill everyone. That's the only way you can lose the war. You have to, like, kill them yourself. Anyway, so you see that Madia, not, so you see Alan is back and with the anti-Terrans and like, oh god, you're alive, everyone's happy. No, the TSF breaks in. You haven't won yet. So you thought you won and everyone's celebrating and Alan's back. No! The TSF breaks in. It's like, you're all under arrest for, because we want to arrest you. Essentially. And so, they're all arrested. But it doesn't matter, because this is where the Tango Corporation steps in. So when they're all being, like, transported out, like, all the transgovs, all 16 of the transgovs, all 15, anyway, are like, nope, you're not doing that, TSF. And it's become, so it's like, they all have one last big battle. Now they've officially won, because TSF just kind of gives up. It's like, after, like, they see all the transgovs leaders and stuff, like, they're just like, alright, well, we're outnumbered. And so they write a new charter, including stuff from the old charter and the, like, researching the old Theron files, the old charter. They all write a new charter. And this is essentially saying that Altera may never exist again, and neither will the Trans System Federation, and that you may govern the transgov, any transgov may govern how they please, like the old charter said. However, they have to be under the super. However, they do have to be under the supervision of the anti-Terran. Yes, anti-Terra is now a, like, big thing that's a big supervision thing. And to make sure that you don't turn out like Altera. And so, but it's not, like that. It's, like, a lot better, and everyone's happy, and Altera's dead, and people are free. And so, also, the people who signed this new charter are Riley Robinson, Craig McGill, Avery Quinn, Sam Ayu, Robin Ayu, Marguerite Maida, and Al Ann, along with a few other miscellaneous people from, like, transgov leaders and stuff like that. So you have the new charter and you have the old charter, and you're able to combine them along with things that make sure, like, Altera never happened again, and you sign all this, everyone's happy, but no! Because in the final cutscene, you're going to sleep, happy that everything's gone, and you're back at home with Robin and Potato, the cat, you know, the one with the prosthetic arm, and they're all laying on your lap, and you're, like, sitting on the couch with Robin. And guess what happens? The TSF breaks into your home. Yes, the TSF. And they're like, well, you're dead. And they say their slogan, you crime, you die, period. And even though they've been abolished, they are technically still an illegal thing. And Volterra's with them. And the leader of Volterra, whose name is Altera Westenture. Yes, his name's actually Altera. Now, the reason it's Winchester is because, remember, the wreck project? Yeah. And I didn't talk about that nearly as much as I should have. This is just, like, a very slim outline of everything that happened, because it would take hours upon hours to explain everything on the storyline, and I only technically am allowed to have an hour. And I'm already going over it, so... anyway, they break into your home, and like, this is not over. And they're like, yes, it is. And then they step aside to see Riley Robinson and Craig McGill and Madia. And this is Riley, you see Riley Robinson and Margaret Madia in handcuffs and laying on the floor, dead, like actually dead this time. Is Alan and guess who? You would never guess. Yep. It's Alan and Craig McGill. Laying on the floor dead. Madia, Avery Quinn, and Madia, Avery Quinn, and Riley Robinson are in handcuffs. Craig McGill, and I mean they're not. I mean we know Al Ann's dead. Craig McGill is obviously still breathing. He's just faking being dead. He actually opens his eyes and winks. Then he goes back to pretending to being dead. But Al Ann just lying on the floor, pieces dead. And so, then, you wouldn't guess what happened. But guess who comes through? Riley. The real Riley. Yes, the Riley in handcuffs was just a hologram that was put there by Riley. The real Riley comes in and lasers them with their own laser blaster things. It's like, you might want to step outside. We still have some work to do. That's when the credits start rolling. Well, first it's like Subnautica, Cave of Secrets, and then the credits start rolling. So yes, it ends on a huge cliffhanger, but so that's like a very rough outline of the story. It would take hours and hours to explain. And it would take like 2 days to explain the full storyline. And no one has that kind of time, so hope you enjoyed the 8th episode, and I'm gonna publish this now, so, yeah.